You are listening to a sermon by Charlotte Siemens, recorded on Sunday, August 23rd, 2025, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
As has already been said, I'm Charlotte Siemens, and I'm a retired administrator. Another little fun fact is that I was in Gerda's biology class one or two decades ago. I don't think I was the star student. I'm a retired administrator, and so for Diane, who I know is going back to school and I'm sure has already been there, and others of you, I'm glad it's not me. You've heard of the adage, Christmas in July. So if that's a selling point, then I think, why can't we have Pentecost in August? So I'm grateful to be with you this morning. John and I have visited your congregation before, albeit in a different location, and it is always such a pleasure to spend time with you. And I also recognize some of the faces on Zoom. So good to be here. In my pondering of the story of Pentecost, I am taking a slightly different twist on the story that many know so well. So perhaps it is very fitting that it does not fit on the same day as the Christian calendar, 50 days after Easter. The Pentecostal event ties into Luke and Acts by continuing Jesus' mission through his followers. In Luke, Jesus' ministry is Spirit-empowered. In Acts, the Spirit extends his work through the church. It is about God's redemptive work in history. It calls believers beyond individual or nationalistic concerns into a universal mission. Faith transcending boundaries into divine participation. The Spirit propels its prophets into the world. The Spirit is poured out widely across social and cultural boundaries. We do not receive all the answers when we receive the Spirit. Pentecost is not a singular event. My thoughts this morning will expand on these ideas. You will see four containers on the table in varying sizes. They all represent stories. Stories offer us meaningful connections to ourselves, one another, and the divine. If you know me, it is no surprise that I believe in the importance of narrative. I love stories, and I believe we learn through stories. Perhaps that's the educator in me, or perhaps it's because it's how I learn best. The Bible is a narrative of stories, of individuals being led by God. We all carry our own story within ourselves, and we carry others' stories which shape who we are. I am drawing on Richard Rohr's thoughts on this sermon, on what he calls the cosmic egg. I receive his devotions daily, as I suspect do any of you. Hey, if you read this morning's, there's a direct tie-in. We'll see if you catch it, a direct tie-in. For those of you not familiar with Richard Rohr, he is a Franciscan priest who lives in New Mexico, the founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation. Rohr states, if we are going to be the rebuilders of society, we need to rebuild ourselves and what it means to look at our lives through various lenses. Now, you may notice that I also have my dolls there. Four or five dolls, all fitting within the one bigger doll. I grew up with these. And played with them for hours. At some point, I think they made it into an MCC pile, which is too bad. So initially, I wanted to use that as my metaphor, and yet the nesting dolls imply a fixed, predictable, and hierarchical structure. Each doll is identical in form and purpose, suggesting that meaning and identity are static and predetermined. The nesting doll's metaphor fails to capture the organic, unfolding nature of life, of the work of the spirit. The containers we brought from home symbolize the daily reality of our lives. They're a little more earthy. The first is called My Story, Our Story, Other Story, and The Story. Rohr talks about these four domains as the unique and almost unconscious gift of healthy religion. The smallest dome of meaning is my story. The first dome contains my private life, and my feelings and opinions are the reference point for everything. This dome is the little stage where I do my dance, and where the questions are usually, how do I feel? What do I believe? What makes me unique? It's important to recognize the value of our individual stories and to see meaning within them. And to ignore this brings issues of its own. But my world could not stay here in this container. My world, when I grew up in Abbotsford, expanded from the close confines of the church, life at MEI, and Abbotsford, and the value of German school, where on Saturdays other children went to soccer or ballet, we went to German school and learned Dedi Das. Grateful now, not so much then. My story has its limitations, and it's had its limitations. Rohr writes, my story isn't big enough or true enough to create large or meaningful patterns by itself. But many people live their whole lives at this level of anecdote and nurtured self-image without ever connecting with the larger domes of meaning. Let's look at our second container. This is our story. This is the dome of our group, our community, our church, perhaps our nationality or ethnic group. We seem to need this to contain our identity and security as social beings. It's the good and necessary training ground for belonging, attaching, trusting, and loving. If we don't have a supportive family, group or community with which we can bond, we create people who struggle to bond. And I would suggest that many of us here have numerous R story memberships, where we work, where we worship, Emmanuel for us, Point Grey for you, folks we socialize with, go to the gym with, are involved with in our neighborhoods. My personal upbringing was from an immigrant family where it was very clear what the rules and regulations were. Church was an integral part of our life, both spiritually and socially. I am very grateful for my upbringing, and as I grow older, I am also able to understand the realities of what it meant for my parents and many others to be a foreigner. To want to hold on to their identity because it had been stripped away again and again when they fled Russia during the war years, as refugees to South America, and then coming to Abbotsford. Security, a place to call home and feel safe, was so very important, where values were upheld and practiced. The older I get, the better understanding I have of my background, how it influenced me, and the sacrifices my parents made for our family. I grew up with a huge sense of our story. There was a huge sense of belonging to my church, to my school community, to Abbotsford, although a very limited version of Abbotsford. There is such a longing in our world right now to belong. Social media tells us who to be and how to be, and a false sense of belonging. One of the hardest things is feeling alone, which is different than being alone. One can be alone and still very connected to our story. When the world looms around us, and right now, the news feels very, very overwhelming. So much fear, discontentment. Our story gives us stability and something to hold on to. My story is part of our story. We're also connected to a larger story. We have shared meaning. Now, our story for me has moved much beyond the immigrant story. And yet, I feel most comfortable when I surround myself with people who think like I do. And isn't that how the algorithms work on social media? I start to think I'm right. I'm feeding my intellect and my soul with sights, stories, and ideas that are just like mine. It reinforces my belief. This is a danger, as we all know. We can't stop at this level. It is through spirit empowerment that we are able to move beyond our story and hear and be attuned to other stories. And it is not always easy. In my experience, it is seldom easy and takes stretching. It is at these times that I long for those dolls, those nesting dolls, where everything is well maintained, no need for wondering what goes where or how to interact or move. The third dome of meaning is what Richard Rohr calls other stories. The term other stories illustrates the significance, but sometimes painful recognition that our story is not the only frame, maybe not even the most important frame. If we are truly honest with ourselves, we begin to see our story, which gives us meaning, and we cherish our communal story. It can be hard to acknowledge that there are also many shadows and biases. John and I have just finished reading Menno Motto. I don't know if any of you have read it, by Cameron Duick. Born in southern Manitoba, now a journalist in Hong Kong. His great grandfather came to Canada in the 1920s. In his memoir of an 8-month, 45,000-kilometer motorcycle journey, he visits Russian Mennonite communities in Central and South America and interacts with Mennonites from Mexico who are entangled with water rights with their neighbors. Discussions with men in Bolivian jails due to the mass rape scandal in Bolivia, as well as the colonies in Paraguay. He finds both deep connections to his culture, as well as a deep loathing of what he finds. In the process, he comes to understand himself much better. His findings and consequent self-understandings echo Rohr's words. This is the great advantage of studying history, literature beyond our own language, anthropology, world cultures and religions, and experiencing some world travel, whether by opportunity or necessity, unquote. Our worlds expand. We know Vancouver has a very diverse population, but I had just read that there are 90 languages spoken in Abbotsford and in the Abbotsford School District. The world is here. We do not have to get on a plane. And maybe when we encounter people's stories, who live in poverty, who are newcomers trying to understand local customs and realities, people with deep depression, chronic pain, broken relationships. We begin to understand in a small way other stories. This is also the invitation modeled by Jesus to move beyond my story, our story, and to stand in friendship and solidarity with other stories. I was working and thinking about this sermon when I was in Brazil, interacting with another culture and a vast variety of people. That particular trip was a time when so many people told me their stories, often of pain, sometimes of transformation, of people's deep trust in God through a stillbirth, through the pain of infertility, and other stories of deep uncertainty and fear, people who have been so hurt by the church and its interpretations. For them, there was no room for the wind of the Spirit. That trip gave me breadcrumbs of goodness, or morsels of people's soul as they trusted me with their stories. When I travel, I sometimes laugh at the cultural differences, and other times I also get very frustrated when I'm in another culture. Or even in my own backyard, when I encounter other ways of being, and I just want things to be uncomplicated. And yet, it is another story. And I remind myself, mine is not the correct one, the only one that has truth. This can be difficult for me to embrace at times. When we brush up against other stories, it can feel very jarring and throw off our equilibrium. I may want to go back to my story, our story, to my nesting dolls, where all feels safe. Richard Rohr writes, "As we encounter more and more of the world's other stories, many people are broadening their wisdom. Unfortunately, others are broadening their fear." When we look to the neighbor to the south, there seems to be so much fear of the other. And truth be told, I too get carried away reading the news. I'm filled with fear for the future of our country, fear for the state of the world, fear for our moral compass. Rohr states, "There is only one thing more dangerous than the individual ego or my story, and that's the group ego that insists that our story is the measure of all things, and so seeks to label other stories as ignorant, dangerous, or inferior." The fourth dome of meaning, which encloses and regulates the three smaller domes, is called the story, God's story. And it is only with the spirit of the ongoing Pentecost in our lives that we can fully embrace the story. This is much larger and more shared than any one denomination or worldview. Forgiveness is one of the patterns that is always true. Although it reveals its wisdom in countless ways, it is part of the story, God's story. Also, there is no specifically Christian way to feed the hungry or to steward the earth. Love is love, even if the motivation might be different. The biblical tradition takes all four domes seriously: my story, our story, other stories. And God's story, the story. We have to listen to our own experiences, to our own failures, to our own sin, and to our own salvation. And we've got to recognize that we are a part of history, of a culture, of a religious group, for good or for bad. We cannot heal or honestly examine what we do unless we also honestly examine what we do not acknowledge. Biblical revelation is all four: my story, our story, other story, and God's story, the story. And isn't that what the story of Pentecost is all about? Whether 50 days after Easter or a Sunday in August. Let's look at this story through the lens of the various domains. My story. At Pentecost, the disciples' individual experiences are transformed. Each one, once fearful and uncertain, receives the Holy Spirit's power, shifting their doubt to bold proclamation. There is also a tribal identity, our story. The Jewish people gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost, sharing a collective religious history. When Peter speaks, he draws from this shared tradition, quoting Joel and David to connect Jesus to their existing faith framework. The miracle of speaking in tongues symbolizes the breaking of tribal boundaries. People from diverse nations hear the gospel in their own languages. God's work extends beyond Israel to the wider world. And the big container. Pentecost reveals God's ultimate story of redemption. The coming of the Holy Spirit inaugurates a new creation and inviting all of humanity into God's unfolding plan. I believe there are many of you who could speak about God's Spirit much more eloquently and personally than I am able. I am still learning what that all means. Decades ago, I was at a women's conference and we spoke of the Spirit as Ruach, the Hebrew word for spirit. Ruach is considered a very important word in the Hebrew Bible, appearing numerous times. And for me, when I think of the Spirit, I think of Ruach, of wind, of God moving within different understandings of the great mystery of faith, of God bringing together people with various stories, of reaching beyond our lives to the bigger stories of others. In Acts 2, verses 1 to 41, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is described as a mighty, rushing wind, Ruach, filling the disciples and empowering them to speak in diverse languages. This moment is not only about spiritual renewal, but a radical expansion of human connection and divine presence. Pentecost invites us to embrace Ruach as a force that expands our world beyond personal and tribal boundaries. The Spirit moves unpredictably like the wind, John 3:8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Embracing this means being open to change, growth, and new perspectives. It may mean different things for different people. To hear the Spirit's wind blow, for me, it means listening to marginalized voices, including those I feel uncomfortable with, engaging in interfaith and intercultural dialogue, or challenging unjust systems. Again, this is something I continue to learn. At Pentecost, Ruach enabled people of different nations to hear the gospel in their own language. Today, we can extend this by advocating for inclusivity, for racial justice, for welcoming refugees. It can challenge us to hear perspectives that are different than our own and acknowledge the other person's story. It is so easy to categorize liberal, conservative, either or, in, out. And yet, when we can begin to understand where our own personal story comes from, how it has developed and has changed, we can be more open to hearing other stories and so expand our own domains and put it into the perspective of the big story. The early church was formed in the Spirit's outpouring, creating a radically open community. We can embody this by building spaces of hospitality, generosity and solidarity in our own contexts. And I think it also means taking time to sit and acknowledge our own discomfort. Pentecost is not a one-time event, but an ongoing reality. When we embrace Ruach, we allow the Spirit to expand our world, breaking barriers, breathing life into justice, and moving towards a more inclusive and loving humanity. If you see my containers, you will notice that they do not have lids on them. My story spills over into our story, into others' story, and becomes a part of God's story of ongoing Pentecost of the Spirit moving. I want to close with a line with some from a newsletter from some friends of ours who are members of our church. Hermann and Marilsa Stahl were working for 3 years at Friedenshaus in Ludwigshafen, Germany, with newcomers. And they write, quote, 3 years of trying to bring a bit of peace into the lives of a small group of people who have faced so much violence seems but a drop in the ocean in a world so conflicted. But it only takes a drop of ink to begin coloring the world around it. Unquote. May we all be that drop of ink in the part of the world where we live and the people we touch, and may we all begin to see the color change. My story, our story, others' story, the story of God's movement in history. In essence, my story and your story make a difference as they touch other stories, as they are part of God's big story. May it be so. Amen.